For like the past 3 to 4 weeks, I've been seeing the color red in most everything that I come across. And I woke up this morning and found these socks that have razorbacks on them. And I told myself, I need to be discreet. I need to be kind. I need to tell the truth. And all I know to say is, woo, pig, suey. I understand the season is young, but you don't understand that people who are Razorback fans, that's all we have in this world. That's all we have in this life. And to see them do well every once in a few years is something to see the color red about. So anyway, just wanted to make that clear. I didn't just dream this up. It just happened. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Folks, your church is in good hands. I want you to know that. Last Sunday, I made a statement that caused a little concern on the part of some. I just simply said that I have 10 more Sundays until Marcy and I walk away, step away in retirement. And that is true. But it caused some to then come to the conclusion that that means on the 11th Sunday, we would have a new pastor here. And that's not the case. Or at least I don't think that's the case. So what I wanted to do this morning was just to once again say I didn't mean to cause any confusion. But the simple fact is that for those of you who have been plugged into the life of your church and have been watching and reading and praying, back the first Sunday of June, that first week of June, I gave the announcement that I would be stepping away. Not because I was forced to, not because I'm not effective anymore, not because of any other reason other than Marcy and I, after thinking and praying over quite some time, realized that it was the right time. Time for fresh vision, however you want to put it. A time for the church to move forward in the next phase of its of her history. And that was first Sunday of June. We hadn't really said too much about it up to now, but I did make that comment because I'm counting those Sundays. And not as a joke, hear me. I'm counting those Sundays because for 49 years, my life has been built around Sunday, as it should. And so counting down those Sundays is not a joke for me. It's not just counting for counting's sake. It's realizing that God has given me 49 years to do His work. And though I have not done the best in every situation, and though I have stumbled like all of us do, I give thanks for every Sunday I have the opportunity to be with God's people. But I wanted to encourage you, especially based on this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 that we just read. We don't know exactly what the church was going through. We do know it was written to a church. There's no doubt. Ephesus was one of the cosmopolitan, high industry, largest cities of the known world in the first century. And it was a place where Paul wanted to plant a church. And he did. And as he followed the history of this church, as he sought to help them and to deal with them, then we find that somewhere along the way, there was some unrest. There was some questioning. There was some folks who just were unsure about what was most important and how to move forward. Well, I want to make sure that we clarify that today, that our church is in good hands. And I mean that ultimately because the song says he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister. He's got the little bitty baby. And he's got FBC Louisville. He's got our church is in good hands because it's in God's hands. And all of us said, amen. You need to believe that. You need to know that. But there are also some things that we do as God's creatures, as human beings. There are systems that we put into place. There are processes that any organization that's going to run on all cylinders has to have some understanding and has to have some processes and some policies, however you want to, whatever word you want to call it. And our church is no different. Our church has set up some specific things that will help us, not just in this season of pastoral change on the horizon, but in each and everything that we do, each and every day that we live, that our church is here. And remember, our church has been here close to 150 years in several locations right around here, but we're here and have been here. And for the foreseeable future, we'll remain here. The church is in good hands. And I say that because we have a personnel committee that's been working. You may or may not know that our church operates on a system of committees. We are congregational in vote. We have business meetings, and the church ultimately decides what we do and do not do. But the church seeks to use people within our congregation to help us make those moves that the church is in favor of. And our personnel committee is exactly what its name implies. It deals with the everyday ongoing issues that happen when you have an office, when you have a slate of ministers that from time to time need encouragement. We have a committee within our church, six individuals, and their names may or may not be familiar to you, but in just a few days, we're going to be having a time of prayer, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a few moments. But you have a personnel committee who's been at work, and their task in this interim period that we're coming upon is to, probably most important, to find a capable person, a preacher, a pastor type, who will be a pulpit supply, or use the word interim. They have come to that conclusion. And I am very, very excited to tell you that on November the 28th, Dr. Previn Vong, that's an unusual name up there. His first name is Previn. Say it with me. Previn. His last name is Vong. Vong. He is going to come beginning the 28th of November, the Sunday after our stepping away. And he is going to be our interim pulpit supply. I do not know Dr. Vong personally. I know him by reputation. We run in some academic circles, and he is a professor of the seminary, the George W. Truett Seminary in Waco. He is a church statesman. He is an excellent preacher of what I've heard. And he's going to come here and help us. He's going to lead us. He's going to work among us. That is something to be excited about. So I just want to ask you that you start praying for this man by name. Learn how to pronounce his name. That would be a nice way to start. Previn Vong, Dr. Vong, and he will be here. And he will work with our worship team. He'll work with our church as we move forward. So our church is in good hands because we have a system of doing things, and a personnel committee has been hard at work in these months since I told you of my plans. And this is where we are. I want to also tell you that we have a competent and gifted staff. Most of you know this, but we have a ministry staff that, in my opinion, is second to none. The day-to-day ministries of our church are going to continue. Just because a pastor leaves and an interim supply comes in for a period of time doesn't mean that we're on shaky ground. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you count the seven the 9 ministers that are on our ministry staff right now, you have a total of 120 years of experience, not in ministry, 120 years in this church. Think about that. That's not counting ministry assistants. And we have some ministry assistants who've been here 20 plus years in our congregation. Now, to be fair, if you back out Susan McClellan, who recently retired in recent months as our preschool minister, she had served 28 years on our staff. And you count me, 28 years as well on our staff. So you take that out of the equation, and you've got a ministry staff that has an average tenure of well over 10 years. Some a little less, some quite a bit more. And they are committed. We are moving forward to keep doing the things that you as a congregation feel are important and are priorities as we work together. Our church is in good hands because we have that personnel committee that's working on our behalf, and we have a competent, gifted ministry staff who work tirelessly, have always done that. And I just want you to know that they are the best. We also are in good hands because we have a pastor selection committee, a pastor search team, however you call it different things. We have a pulpit committee, however you want to put it. In the bylaws of our church, our governing documents, they are called the pastor selection committee. You may or may not know, but there are 9 of those people and 2 alternates, a total of 11. Who were elected a few months ago, right around the 1st of July, give or take. And their task is basically singular. It's one. It's one task that the bylaws give to the pastor search team. And that is obvious. They are to bring a pastoral candidate before the church, one candidate for the church to vote on. That is their task. And that is a monumental task. Goes without saying. These people who were prayerfully recommended by another committee in our church, a nominating committee, brought those names before us. We voted on them. We hear from them from time to time. But I do want you to know that if you have the opportunity to go to the internet and go to our church website, I'm just talking about the main page, fbclouisville.org. You go to the main page of our website. You don't have to do it now. I don't want to hear any chime in here, okay? But if you go there on your own time, you're going to find a link there of updates from this team of people. It's there right now. You can go there after we're done, and you can read up on the latest updates from the Pastor Search Committee. We're also wanting to make a concerted effort to pray for them in the days to come. Not that we haven't started doing that, we have. But this group of folks have a tremendous task before them. And we need to encourage them and support them. And if you know who they are, when you see them in the hall, congratulate them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Ask if there's anything you can do. I wouldn't ask for the name of the guy they're going to bring. I don't think that would be a nice thing to do. But when they're ready, they're ready. Our church is in good hands, friends. I hope you know that. Because we have a committee structure that works. We have a ministry staff and support staff that are long tenured here in our church, way beyond the average in churches like ours. And we have a pastor search team that is working tirelessly, who need our prayers. I know they will have our prayers in the days to come. Cut the rest of the outline, will you please? Just take it off. You can do that all the way through, right? So it's okay, thank you. These are exciting days, my friends, because there are exciting possibilities for the future, which there should be. There is the anticipation of new leadership, which is an exciting thing. Many, many joyful things to come in the life of our church. That's been our history. But in the midst of exciting days, there are also some dangerous days right upon us. You see, the way I look at it, there is a vacuum that's about to come to fruition. When someone leaves and there's kind of a transition period, an interim period, there's a vacuum. There's an emptiness. There is seemingly places where things need to be filled. And many times, and I'm hoping it's not within our congregation, I haven't seen it up to now, but many times when there is a vacuum of leadership, there are those who have their own idea and who seek to fill that vacuum. And I'm not saying that leaders within our church should not fill that vacuum. They will. But there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And it has come back through several channels back to me. It always does. That there's gossip. Folks, that's worthy of the worst profanity you could ever think of. Gossip. That's when people start talking and they start planting doubt, or they start speaking of clandestine, behind-the-scenes maneuvering. And it's hurtful. Few people have made comments that have gotten back to me that I just want to make sure you understand, I can clarify. One of the first things was someone, in a way that was not very kind, said, "Why does Stephen stay 6 months?" I mean, folks, that hurts my feelings. I don't know any other way to put it. Truth be told, I wanted to stay 6 months as a gift to our church, to help us realize that after a long tenure, there are some bumps along the way, and to help things settle down and to help keep things rolling along. That's why I gave a timetable like I did. Not for any other reason. Not because I want to hang around and be a presence. That's hurtful. I didn't appreciate it. And I don't know who said it. And that's really beside the point. But the next question has been, well, is Stephen going to choose the next pastor of our church? And the answer to that is no. I am not going to choose the pastor that comes after me. That would be wrong. Some churches operate differently than ours, but this is the way we function. And I have nothing to do with the calling of our next pastor. But if you think I'm not going to be interested in the history of our church moving from this point on, you need to rethink that. I love this church. I love this church more than you love this church. Why? Now hear me. I've been here 28 years, and I know the underside of church life. I know the top side of church life. I know how things function around here, and I love this church more than you. Because no matter how long you've been here, or if you know a lot more than I do about some things, you don't know this church like I do. And you know, when that pastor search committee makes its mind up and they prayerfully consider that one candidate they're going to bring before our church, at some point, if it works like it normally works, at least in the churches I've served, there's an opportunity where that pastoral candidate, the ball's pretty much put in his court. And after he has been looked at, and after he has been prayed through, and after he has been questioned, and when all those things happen and they bring it down to, this is God's choice for our church, we firmly believe it. And they will come to that conclusion, and that will happen. But when that ball is put in his court, you know what one of his first questions is going to be? He wants my phone number because he wants to talk to me. Why do I know that? Because that's what I've done every time. Before I came to this church, I talked to C.W. Best, my predecessor. I asked him some good questions. I asked him some hard questions. And he answered me. I decided that I might need to do a little more homework. I went to the preacher before him, Leonard Malone. Talk to him about this congregation, because that's what we do as we network and as a candidate is praying through those issues. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you need to be nice to me. You know the spirit in which I say that. I guess, folks, what I'm really trying to tell you is these are exciting days and they are equally dangerous days. Because if gossip starts about these issues of our church life, we're in for a hard time. So I guess what I need to say to you is until November 21 at midnight, I'm still the pastor of this church. And I'm here to tell you, and I would tell you if I wasn't the pastor of the church anymore, that gossip, there's no place for it. It's inappropriate. It's evil. It's sinful. It destroys, and it's not to be tolerated. Period. This coming Tuesday, September 28, 6 p.m., there's going to be a time of prayer. It's going to be broken up into two sections. If you have a personal prayer need, show up here at 6 o'clock or between 6 and 7. And in this room, there'll be folks who will pray with you because there are personal needs around us all the time. But from 7 to 8, it will be a call to prayer for our entire congregation. Meeting in this room, our ministry staff will lead us in that time of prayer and worship. You will be reminded of who your personnel committee is. You'll be reminded of who your pastor search team committee members are, to where you can recognize them, to where you can know them, where you can contact them, where you can speak to them, but mainly so that you can pray for them and with them. There's nothing more important in the life of our church right now, my friends, than what we're going to be called to do Tuesday evening. To realign things, perhaps, for some of us. For some people to drop the idea of what they think's going to happen or how they think things should go. All comes down to a little word called trust, doesn't it? So that time of worship and that time of prayer is crucial. And I urge you to come. And that vacuum that I talked about, Paul gives us the perfect answer to a leadership vacuum in the life of a church. Did you hear it? He said, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Who needs to fill the vacuum within the life of our church that always happens at a time like this? Who needs to fill it up? Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. We allow Him to fill that vacuum. We allow Him to guide our steps. We allow Him to bring us comfort and to challenge us. And we drop the questions that don't go anywhere. And we drop the hard feelings, and we drop the gossip, and we see how God is willing and ready to continue His great work in the life of our congregation. That's what I wanted you to know. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to be here, to hear Your word, to sing praises to Your name, to tell You we love You by what we say and what we do. And Father, I just pray for our church. I pray for these days that are upon us, exciting days. but yet dangerous days. Help us to look to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we always do when we worship God, when he speaks to us, and I pray that he has. We ask for people to respond, to make commitments, to do the right thing. It could be that you're here today, and this has been a little different type of, at least from my perspective, from the pastor speaking. It's been a little bit different than it normally is, but I felt it needed to be said. And it could well be that what God's word told us and the way we approach things just might encourage someone in this very room to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want him, as he has filled the vacuum in my life caused by sin. I want to be a part of a church that any vacuum that's there, that it's immediately filled by Christ himself. Well, that's who we are. So if you're here today and you've never met Jesus, never given your life to him, never said, Lord, save me, I want to follow you. We're here. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Maybe you're here and you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone. Tell us. Commit your life to him. Follow him in every detail of your life. You need help. That's why the church exists. Maybe you're here looking for a church to call your own. Maybe you're new to our area. Maybe you've just been out of pocket and out of sorts in these days and months of a pandemic. Things may never be like they were before, but that's not the point, is it? As a church, we move forward. It may look different. It may have to be a different time frame. A lot of things may change, but some things don't. And that is, Jesus leads us every step of the way. So if you want to be a part of a congregation like I've just described, then come forward. That's the first step of membership. It's important, but that's just the beginning. And then for most of us, let's be kind. Let's be joyful. Let's be trusting. And let's smile as God has his way with us. What does that mean for you? I don't know. I know what it means for me. And I'm committed to making those personal changes in my life. And I pray you are too. We stand, we sing, you respond as God leads.